Is AI content generation destroying your content business? Or are you worried about buying an online business that has been littered with AI generated content and not knowing the real risks of that? Hi, I'm Jared Krause, host of the Buying Online Businesses podcast. And today I'm speaking with Rad Paluzak, who is a web developer and software architect with 20 years experience. He's been a technical mastermind in the SEO industry since 2010. Rad helped Matt Diggity run his SEO agency, The Search Initiative, and Matthew Woodward with Search Logistics. Now, Rad has recently founded Husky Hamster, an outreach link building company, which I use, and he's also his SEO agency, non-agency. Now, Rad's specializations include international and technical SEO, machine learning and understanding, as well as looking at SEO from a business and management's perspective. Now, in this podcast episode, Rad and I talk about AI content, the truths and the myths about AI content generators. We also talk about the risks that you're running for your website if you follow them blindly and don't know how to use them the right way. We talk about why Google eventually released a leaked article that has now been updated expressing how to use EEAT. It has an extra E for experience on EAT and what that means for your site and what that means for the content that you're generating through AIs and how you need to have that extra E in front of the EAT. So we did just talk about that in context within the podcast episode. Very important to understand. We also talk about how to use AI content generators in a wholesome and valuable way for everyone involved, especially the consumer or the reader of that content. Then we talk about my process on generating AI content, something that I shared with a client of mine, and you know, having Rad emphasize that it's a good solid plan on the podcast episode and what he would add or change to it if he could. We also talk about Rad's favorite AI tools. They're out of all the ones that he's been using. He's been testing over 11 over the last few months, and we share those with links as well in the podcast episode. There's so much value in this episode around content generation, even just without AI content. There's so much in here. I know you're going to get so much damn value from this. We also talk about doing due diligence on a business that may have some AI generated content, how that's important. So if you haven't already, go to buyingonlinebusiness.com/free resources and get our due diligence framework that's helped us help people save $1 million and make millions of dollars through buying online businesses. Now, let's dive straight into the podcast episode. What's up? This is Jared, and I am stoked to have you here. Before we dive into the show, I want to remind you that for a limited time, you can get one-to-one voice note mentoring with me to help you buy and grow your online business. I'm opening up just a few slots of voice note coaching to give you one-to-one access to me via Coachbox. You'll tell me your goals and challenges, and we'll work through them together. I'll ask questions, I'll tell you what I think, and we'll get you ticking boxes and achieving your online income goals. You can message me anytime, and I'll respond within 48 hours. Right now, you can get 20% off by using the coupon code Jared, that's J-A-R-Y-D, and I'll drop the link in the show notes so you can find out more. Until then, let's get on with the episode. Rad, back on the podcast. Thank you for coming back on.
My pleasure. Hi, Jared. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. Pumped, actually.
Me too. And the reason I'm pumped is because we've been talking about this for the last 2 months, maybe longer even, wanting to get this podcast episode out. And there's a few more that we've just got that we really want to debunk in the SEO space. But for today, we're going to focus on AI. It's a huge, shiny object for people. And in fact, that it being a good tool, it can be a good tool. And then there's also some dangers within it. So yeah, I wanted to just really discuss all things around that today. First off, starting around like maybe I have you share some truths and some myths and warnings about, you know, ChatGPT. I have people commenting on my videos and emailing and in all different areas on the internet, saying content writing is dead and we're not going to need content writers anymore. A lot of people that just like new to the space and throwing these things out there. I do a lot of teaching around AI at the moment as well in how to use it as a tool, but not an answer to everything. And it's also, I feel it's very new. Like I feel like there's so much more, like in 5 years time or 3 years time where AI is going to be at, the tools are going to be a lot more exceptional. I want to hand the mic over to you to talk about some truths, some myths, and some warnings around AI tools. And in fact, if you wanted to just specifically speak to one like ChatGPT, happy to stay in that junction as well.
All right, sure. I think it's worth mentioning that there's so many tools that are just popping up everywhere right now. You have tools for obviously content generation, the most famous one, ChatGPT, and it's should I say younger brother or younger sister, GPT-3. You've got Jaspers, you've got all of these other tools, but there are also amazing tools that allow you to, for example, produce audio content. And this isn't to say that podcasting will soon be dead, but I was really surprised because just today I actually used a tool called 11 Labs, where the first month only costs you $1, which is absolutely bloody crazy. And you've got like 30,000 characters to use in terms of the content, and you can turn it into a speech. But what this tool also offers, which I actually went through a lot of similar tools, and they are usually a bit more expensive when they allow you to do that. And that feature is cloning your own voice. And man, was I surprised when I heard myself reading some random stuff on the internet with my own voice, and it wasn't me. It was creepy. I had goosebumps on my hands, man. It was absolutely crazy.
So people actually don't know if you and I are actually speaking right now, or we're in they're in an AI time warp of just us.
Yeah, maybe it's a deep fake. Who knows?
Interacting. Two AIs interacting right now, even video as well. How cool.
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, this is all very new and it's very quick when everything is happening. I've not remember, and bear in mind, maybe I'm not that old, but I have been on the internet for quite some time, and I haven't seen a period of time where everything was just exploding like that. At least I can't recall anything that was that quick and that exciting at the same time. Maybe crypto, but it was slightly different than what's actually happening with all this stuff at the moment. But going back to your question, so let's maybe focus on the content generation for now.
Definitely.
One of the biggest and most troubling, at least to me, misconceptions with all of with AI generated content is that all of the tools out there, or at least the main ones, the mainstream ones, they are lying a lot. Okay, so without fact checking, without actually paying a lot of attention to what they write, it's very dangerous to just take the generated output and slap it on your website, because maybe you're not risking lawsuits, maybe you're not risking stuff like that, but at very least you're risking someone being misdirected towards the content or towards something that you're writing about, and I think this is pretty dangerous.
So are you saying that the companies, as in terms of the brand and the company, are lying, or are you saying that the outputs from the AI are at times lying?
Yeah, no, I don't know about the companies, but the output of the AI generators, content generators, is not always very, very factually correct. Let's put it this way. So
I have an example around that, and I mentioned this to some of my private coaching clients. I injured my ankle, grade 3 sprain, really bad playing tennis, and I went onto Google and I googled a bunch of ways to rehab and heal my my ankle very fast, because I was going on a surfing trip a week and a half later. It was to a wave pool, so the surf was going to be consistent. I knew like I had to be able to perform. So I went onto Google and looked at all these different ways that I could rehab it. And a lot of it was like not what I wanted. And a lot of the data was old, based on doctors not new science that had came out and was helping people rehab their injuries very fast for athletes. Mm-hmm. And then I went on to ChatGPT and to check out and see what their rehab protocols were, what it spat back at me. And it was the same as the outdated stuff that the doctors, the mm-hmm. older doctors had been saying. And in fact, if I had have done that after speaking to my osteopath, who is a very high level osteopath for some of the highest level athletes in Australia, and he's like, yeah, if you had to follow those old protocols, you would not have been able to surf, or you would not have been able to rehab your ankle as fast. And I was able to surf within a week. So there's an example there that we need to be very, very careful. Mm-hmm. Right, which is just what you've been saying, but I just wanted to share that as an example because it's a real live thing that
yeah
you guys we need to know about.
That one would definitely impact your quality of life, which is straight up dangerous for whoever is reading this sort of content. I have another example which isn't as dramatic, but I had this guy on LinkedIn who posted like a bunch of slides about ChatGPT, you know, how great it is. And at the end he said, oh yeah, so I fully generated this content with ChatGPT. And then I went through the slides, I read through them, and the first one said something like ChatGPT has been around for years, stuff like that. It's accurate. Its accuracy is at 96%, you know, it's better by 30% or something like that than other tools. And I'm like, yeah, this is all made up because obviously it hasn't been around that long. There's no studies yet in terms of how accurate it is. There's no studies in terms of how much better or worse it is from the other tools. So obviously it was all made up. And I think that was a pretty funny example of, I'm talking about how great ChatGPT is, but in fact it's producing factually incorrect stuff. I think overall this is my first and foremost warning to our audience that, you know, don't fully rely on that. And if you have a suspicion that a content writer produce something using AI, make sure to factually check it, fact check it, to double check that content, just so you know it's not talking crap, basically, right?
I like it.
Another myth I think is worth mentioning is that Google doesn't like AI generated content. That's straight up not true. Google came clean themselves quite recently, or came clean, or they just stated recently that they have absolutely nothing against AI generated content as long as it's useful for the users and as long as it's factually correct. Okay, so they actually, I'm not sure if that is in the post that they shared, but I actually went to a conference where there was a QA with Gary Iyesh from Google, and he was asked that question, what Google thinks about AI-generated content. And he said that basically, in his opinion, the best approach to that is human-supervised writing or AI-assisted writing, if you like to call it one or the other. And I think this is pretty much spot on. I think this is quite similar to what CNET and this other financial website was doing, where they actually had a little disclaimer that this content is AI generated, but fact checked by humans. Unfortunately, it backfired on them because people were started reading that content, following through, and it wasn't that much of fully correct when it comes to what it was talking about. But I think if you follow through with that process, so you generate content with AI or have AI assist you generate the content, write the content, you should be pretty much fine. And when we look back at what Google has been moving towards for the last, let's say, 8 months to a year, where they released helpful content updates, actually two of them, they obviously keep releasing those core algorithm updates, which always focus on content. And they were releasing updates to the product reviews update, which I think today they released another one just today, and they actually call it now product review system, not a product review update, because I think they just implemented something that is looking at specifically that sort of content. But when we look at all of this, we can see that Google is trying to stomp on content that is really not that great, not that useful, not written with the experience of the writer, and just span out by an AI system, because that's what those AI systems do. They are just or mostly very, very, very clever, intelligent spinning machines that predict the next word, basically based on the input, based on they've already generated.
It's interesting to hear that Google is cool with the AI assisted content as long as it's proofread and by a human. I think that's really important to understand, because a lot of people have the ideology of like, yep, if I just get really good at my inputs and just another input and another really good input to change it, and then just they get like 10 to 15 different inputs to create this, and they have the ideology that like that can fly under the radar and be seen by other AI tools that it's generated by a human, you put it on and it still can be incorrect, like the facts can be incorrect and the data can be not as valuable, and people are seeing it as an answer. So I'm so glad that Google and probably these other search engines, like, yeah, it can be used as a tool. It's kind of like when you hire a content writer, you're using them as a tool, but you still need to proofread it and edit the content anyway, right? Yeah. So I don't see it as it being the answer like most people do. What's your take on that?
Someone who's generating that content, as in you're a site owner, and you just generate that content and you slap it on the website and you think it's going to rank and it's going to be all good. Obviously, if you're not proofreading it, or if you're just using it as a cheap labor, so to speak, then you, I think, make the same risk as you're risking when you're using very cheap content, human content writers. Okay. Their quality might not be that great. If Google update comes, you might be penalized or devalued for having bad content, and just it's a straight up risk. Okay, you might cut your costs at the moment, but in the long term, it might come back and bite you on the back. So that's obviously not a good idea, right? Now, from the writer's perspective, on the other hand, I would say that I wish I was a writer at this moment, honestly, man, because I would use the hell out of it as my writing assistant. Okay, and let's say, for example, you're writing content for your own website, and it's obviously about buying businesses, and you have a question, you want to answer a question in that content. Why would you want to buy business? Okay, so of course you can add your own experience and your own thoughts onto that, but the baseline is pretty much the same, right? As an investment or as something. And what is, I don't see anything against AI taking this heavy lifting off of your off of you and writing that little intro, or at least the blueprint of the content for you. Okay, you just go in, check it over, add your own experience, add your own thoughts, and then you probably have like a bit longer piece that is really valuable for the users. And I think everything boils down to that, and what Google is saying also relates to just that.
I love that. Either way, and I was actually created a bit of a process, just, was it yesterday? It might've been the day before, with a client on using different tools, AI tools for detection and creation, and explaining to him that what some of these AI content generating tools are really good for, why they're really good is because it prevents writer's block, and you can take some ideologies and then you can, it generates inspiration on what you want to write about and to go deeper on those topics with more context and humanize it a lot better and give a far more valuable answer than just, it's great to buy a business because you'll get 20 to 30% ROI.
Exactly.
That's a really good topic for inspiration to write about, right? And that's why I'm bullish on the tools in that aspect. It can prevent decision fatigue and writer's block in that aspect. But there's still so many things that around the tools that we need to be careful of, right? I believe that's some of the good parts of AI. I don't know. Do you have any other myths or ideologies that you want to talk about, the dangers and the warning signs, before we move on to more things that you think it's good for?
Yeah, maybe very briefly two things. So all these AI content detectors, they're not foolproof. Okay, so what I'm doing, I have my favorite one, which is called GPT-0, and it's my favorite because so far in my tests it detects the best out of all of the other tools that I've tested, and I've tested like 12 or 13 of them, like basically everything that pops up in Google for AI content detectors, I'm testing it, right? If there's a new kid on the block, I'm testing it, because obviously you want to see what these tools are capable of. And surprisingly, even though OpenAI themselves released, what do they call it? They call it classifier, I think, not a detector, that is meant to detect AI or GPT generated content. But even that tool isn't always you know, detecting the AI generated tool, or it's saying that your human written content that you just literally wrote yourself is AI generated. So they're giving false positives.
Yeah, that's crazy.
In my
opinion, there's the conflict of interest there as well. Is that if your own AI generation tool has an AI detector, there can be that conflict of interest that people need to consider.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think they were pressurized by universities and educators because these folks are really, colloquially speaking, shitting their pants, thinking what the students are going to come up with, right? And I mean, kids are probably even more creative than we are. I'm not surprised. And in fact, the favorite tool that I mentioned, GPT-0, that is built, I think it has some really strong scientific background, and it's actually built by a guy who is at the university, or he's affiliated with the university, or he built it for the university. But it's kind of like an answer to this problem of AI generated content being able to, so universities being able to detect AI generated content. And so far, it's like honestly the best, although I'm doing like 3 to 4 different tools before I actually conclude whether or not this content is AI generated. And I think until a really great tool, one that is almost always correct, isn't going to be released, then we're going to have to stick with using a couple tools, really.
And I guess those tools that are good now will hopefully earn more money and do some more R&D and just make those tools better and better and better as well. Because we're very much, like, as much as people, like, I just keep thinking that people have the belief that's just the answer, it's the way forward, and it's great tool on the belt. But we're also still pretty young in it. Like, where we're going to be 3 years' time with it, it's going to be a very different story. So are there any other things that people should be worried about before we talk about how good these can be used and how to use them in a good way?
Yeah, just to conclude that, I would say that the truth I think, undisputed so far, and I think it will not be disputed, is that these tools are here to stay. Okay, so if anyone hasn't tested any of them, it's the time, right? Embrace them or stay behind, because they're not going anywhere. Like, that's for sure. They're too helpful, too useful in certain things. Obviously, all these things that we mentioned are worrying, but I think this is more of something that you should be aware of and adjust your use to the specifics of the tool that you're using. And I think it's like with a hammer. You can have a hammer go around bashing things and destroying things, or you can have a hammer and make a great sculpture, right? It depends what you're using the tool for, and you have to adjust to what you're using it for. The last thing, like I said, just consider what you need to use this tool for.
There's so many benefits. I've mentioned one around it, and you've mentioned something else as well. But yeah, it's a benefit that can prevent writer's block and generate inspiration on content. How do we embrace this in the way that we are understanding how to use the AI as a tool to generate content and have it be human supervised content? And how do we do this in a way that is going to be unique on the search engines and going to be valuable for our users, so it gets ranked?
Yeah, that's a tough question overall.
It's a long question because there's so many, I put so many inputs in it, because you know what I'm good at now is just putting inputs into questions.
Yeah, prompting.
Prompting, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think the short answer would be unique selling point, right? What makes your content distinguished from your competitors? What makes it better? Okay, is it additional data that you put in other than just content? Is it a video? Is it some other media? What is it? Okay, other than that, which in some way touches upon unique selling point, is user intent. What I'm finding with specifically GPT, it's good at finding and deciphering user intent or guessing user intent, but it still gets it there. It often gets it wrong. So say, I don't know, you have content. And by the way, so this is something I've heard at one of the conferences and have been using since. It's not Google that is ranking your site. It's competitors who are setting the requirements that Google is picking up that are ranking your site. So if we look at it from this perspective, we look at what's in top 10 of Google, and because this is where we try to rank, and we're trying to find out what Google thinks, what Google found interesting in your competitors. Okay. And quite often it boils down to specific user intent. And if you get the user intent wrong, then there's not much chance that you're going to rank, or if there is, you're going to rank by chance, not purposely or not strategically. So yeah, I don't know how much this answers your question, but I would really focus on standing out from this crowd, because if you think about it, another thing to think about is Google is going to be absolutely flooded with content this year. I think they've been struggling with that for quite a while now already, and hence they've been focusing a lot of their updates on content, like, for example, helpful content update. So I think they were already well aware of that problem. But since, I think, when the ChatGPT get released, was it at towards end of November, I think?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
within a week, they had a million users. So it's just crazy. Imagine how many of these people are pumping the content onto their websites, right? And by the way, we've seen case studies where websites were within months, based on AI generated content, within months they were ranking for like 1 million, like several hundreds of thousands of keywords, hitting like 4 million of traffic every month, and then after helpful content update, they went virtually down to zero almost. That shows you what happens when you're not really interested in having unique selling point or meeting user intent. You're just focusing on pumping out as much content as possible.
Yeah. And it just comes back to a philosophy that I carry and like to teach, is that those people are looking for a shortcut and to try and get results very, very fast, and aren't prepared to play the long game. Mm-hmm. And they don't have the long-term vision or long-term thinking, which is a philosophy that I like to use. They're doing all of this work for a short gain, and they're not really thinking about, is this going to stay ranked and stay valuable for people in years and years and years to come? So it's a shame. I think this is, and I'm just mentioning this because I think people should really consider what you're saying here, Rad, is that it's a great tool and you can get a lot of content out there very, very fast. But do you want to do that? Is that what's right for your users on your website? Is that what's right for the users of Google? Is that what's going to still provide value for many, many years to come in the pieces of content you put out there? Or is it that you're just playing a game to try and get as much content out there as fast as possible to get a quick result where you may actually not be setting yourself up for success? And I think if people use these tools in the right way, that you can make your content so damn valuable and so damn rich that people are going to refer to it and share to it and link to it, because you've got so much rich data and so many different talking points that you've gotten from prompts from using these AI tools, and you've instilled them into your content and you've humanized it and added context, added so much value in a way that it's so damn good that people are going to want to only continue to share it in years and years to come. That's the real powerful way to use the tools, I believe.
Yeah, I totally agree, man. And one more thing that I've actually forgot to mention earlier, but also observing Google's movement towards or against AI-generated content, because what they have quite a pickle at the moment. Like I said, they are flooded with content. They need to deal with that somehow, because it's obviously overworking their systems. They have to scan a lot of additional data. They have to store a lot of the additional data. So it's messing up with their index. It's a nightmare. I feel sorry for Google's engineers now to deal with all of that. But I think, and I might sound like a fanboy of Google, but I think they're already doing a pretty decent job with all of that. However, what I'm trying to refer to, the change that they implemented or the change that they announced in their search quality rater guidelines. So search quality raters are people whose job is to assess if the change in algorithm is good or bad. Okay. And Google has like a document that is, I think, like 134 or something pages long. So it's a hefty piece of content where they have all the rules for these assessors to follow. And this document, I remember when it was first leaked from Google, it was crazy. Google was going after people who leaked it, and was going after everyone who's resharing it and stuff. But then Google made it available to people, to SEOs, to site owners, because they realized that following the rules that they have there is actually helping to make the web a better place and to make websites better and content better. And now the latest iteration of that document, this always been a term called EAT, which stands for expertise, authoritativeness, and trustworthiness. But in the latest iteration, they added one more E at the beginning. So now it's EEAT. And that added E is for experience. Okay, so basically what they're trying to say is make your content based on your experience, and we will favor it, let's say, right? It tells me that they're trying to train their systems, train their algorithms to be able to understand if you have the experience required to create that content, to make those claims that you're making that content and share this stuff. If we add this on top of, you know, unique selling point and everything else we've said just now, in terms of how to make your content better and stand out and play the long game, to share experience in your content, I think this is the cherry on the top that will allow you to thrive for much longer than all of these sites that are just trying to, you know, rank and bank.
Love it. I love it. Yeah, we talk about EEAT with Kyle Roof in another podcast episode. If you think about it from the user's perspective, content that is generated by somebody with experience knows how to humanize the content if they've used the assistance of AI, they know how to humanize the content. Yeah. And they also now know how to add context with their own experience, mm-hmm. which means it's such a valuable piece of content. Because if I think about it the way, if I was to generate content, I wouldn't want to have to sit down and rack my brain and have writer's block. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't utilize my energy towards just trying to think of ideologies and things to bring up in a piece of content for a specific keyword. I could then give that to a tool, and then I could use my valuable resources and my decisions on adding context to valuable points that have already been spat out. And I could make those points that much better and make the content that's much more valuable than me just starting and writing it from scratch. But Google's going to want to ensure that that person who has the experience is the one that's supervising or editing, proofreading the content at least before it goes out and goes live. So then that still changes the game on how content's created, because it's a combination of written, assisted by AI, rewritten by a content writer and or the person with the experience, and or have that supervised by somebody with the experience if the person doesn't actually write it. As a community of content site owners, have this thing where we want to have a shortcut and we want to just get as much content out there as quickly as possible, because that's what we've been taught by from Google 10 mm-hmm. years ago. The more content we put out, the more you're going to get ranked and the more traffic you're going to get. Whereas like I see so many sites and I'm loving the sites that have 100 to 200 articles with a DR50, but a lot more traffic and less content to maintain than something with 700 to 800 articles with a DR9, right? Or authority score of 9, because the content's thin and crap, because they've just played a game of like, just put as much content out there as quickly as possible. But those ones with the experienced people reviewing that content and putting it out there are the ones that are winning. And that makes that coupled with this AI tool, for me, makes it an exciting game if it's done right. Yeah. So I wanted to ask you, how would you foresee a blog owner breaking down that process and hiring people or creating an SOP to get a piece of content generated that's very valuable coming from somebody that's got experience mm-hmm. without having to do absolutely everything in the process of the system to create that piece of content?
Yeah, sure. Before I answer this question, I just wanted to mention that what you are saying, like, I absolutely am loving this. I absolutely agree with that. And just to add on top of that, at the moment, we are in the times when you have virtually unlimited content. Okay. You can generate unlimited content pretty much because it costs pennies to generate content. Okay. And when there's so much abundance, what becomes really important within that is the uniqueness. Okay.
Yes.
And this is where all of this stuff that we already mentioned is actually tying in and comes into play, right? To make all of this better, to think about that. And just last thing before I answer your question, because you were also saying about writer's block and creating, focusing on adding value to the content that is, let's say, pre-written. Okay. And I totally agree with that. And by the way, in all of that, this already sounded sort of like a process that the step-by-step process of what you mentioned.
Well, that's something I outlined. I basically hashed out a little bit the other day with a client, just built a bit of a process for him, but I'm just curious.
Yeah, it shows.
Reinforce it in different ways or poke holes at it.
but so with that, I'd like to use a simple exercise. And if you take the same outline for the content piece for one article and give it to two or three different writers, you'll get different results, right? And you will see which writer has written for that niche. You'll see which writer is a novice writer. You'll just see that, okay? And so this is basically it, right? When you have a basic outline, GPT can throw in its own stuff, like the basics, and then you just build on top of that and build on top of that. And that's great. So when it comes to the process, I would use basically what you've said and build on the foundation that GPT gives me. It's great for ideation content. It's pretty creative. Actually, I find it pretty creative. Actually, it's helped me discover a lot of keyword ideas, for example. But going back to what you wanted me to talk about, which is hiring and processing. So, and I think this is going to sound a bit weird, but because I've heard people really worried and avoiding content writers who straight up say that they are, let's say, fluent or they use AI content generators. Okay. And I'm saying, why? If they embrace the tool, that's good. Obviously, if they only generate content and they try to sell you that generated content for, I don't know, even $20 for 1,000 words, and this is obviously too much, right? But if they embrace the tool and they're still really good writers, then why not, right? It just shows that they keep up to date with stuff that's happening in their own niche, in their own industry, in their own specialization. Okay. But having said that, I would be really careful with choosing the content writers at the moment. Okay, and I would probably want to have a better screening process because you don't want someone who gives you content that comes straight out from GPT. Okay, because this is going to be the shortcut that we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. Okay, so with every content writer that we will be trying or hiring now, we will actually be testing their assignments, their test assignments through the AI generator, not AI generator, the AI detectors. Like I said, we can maybe leave a couple of links to the tools that we use. Like I said, right. It's like three or four tools. So that's my step number one. But on top of that, I would probably try to get them to write something that OpenAI's tools and other AI generators struggle with. These tools struggle with content based on experience, opinions. For example, just to name a couple. Okay.
And emotions, and all, there's so many. Yeah.
Yeah, but I encourage and actually challenge the listeners to go to, onto ChatGPT and test it for themselves if they haven't yet, because if you play around with it. And by the way, when it was released, I was like pretty skeptical because we've been using GPT-3 for quite some time, and I thought to myself that this is just a spin-off. Okay, it's not going to be that great. It's not going to be that much different. But then after a while, when there was all this hype and everyone was raving about it, I gave it a go and I was absolutely shocked, because what OpenAI did, they took something that was already great and they turned it into a dialogue-based machine that is, I don't know how it does it, but it's really clever. Like, you give it some specific examples of, for example, if you're struggling with Excel and you're trying to find a formula to do something, you can actually tell ChatGPT the specific cell numbers, like G5 and something, where you have the data, and then it will actually take those and put them in the answer exactly in the formula. So that's pretty amazing for me. But we're going off. Off on a tangent here.
It is an amazing tool, and how they structured it in a chat format, but with the depth it can go into, it's phenomenal. Talking about, there's different AI content generating tools. What are your top 2 to 3, and then what would your top 2 to 3 detectors be? And we'll put some links in the show notes as well.
Sorry, because I've missed this. Could you repeat the question?
Yeah, so because there's a lot of tools out there that you guys can be using, and we're using, a lot of people are testing. What are your top 2 to 3 AI content generating tools? And then what would your top 2 to 3 AI detection tools be, that we can put some links in the show notes for people to check out?
Sure. So obviously, first and foremost, ChatGPT, that's my number one. I like a lot WriteSonic, because it's got like 30 or 40 different tools built into it. I think it's more specificity in terms of, how the model is adjusted to, for example, writing description for YouTube or meta descriptions or specific tasks that you can actually task it with. They created their own chat system as well, and they made it actually query Google for the fresh and up-to-date information. It definitely isn't as good as ChatGPT, even though it can connect to the internet and have up-to-date information, but it's pretty good overall. And I will mention a tool, but I haven't tested it yet, so might be a bit of a false start. However, I've heard amazing things about it, and I've heard that its model was actually was trained on mainly business and marketing content. So, for example, OpenAI trained their models on Wikipedia, Wikidata, and just wild internet and like thousands of books and things like that. So it's kind of like to use everywhere. Okay. However, writer.com, because this is the tool I'm talking about, apparently they've trained their models on marketing and business stuff, content. Oh. So it might be much better for my industry, for SEO writing and stuff. So I'm going to give it a go, but I've heard really great things about this. So I think it's worth mentioning. When it comes to AI content detectors, I'm definitely, my first and go-to one is GPT-0. That's the one I've mentioned earlier. Second one, I think I'll have to share the link with you later, but it's a model that was designed to detect GPT-2 output. However, and it's hosted on Hugging Face. It's like this machine learning GitHub, basically, but for machine learning, Hugging Face. But it's really great at detecting GPT-3 and ChatGPT content also. So even though it was designed for GPT-2, which is like the old version, it's still doing pretty good job at detecting GPT-3 content. And the third one will be OpenAI's own classifier that allows you to detect AI-generated content. I have a few more, but maybe we can just add the links here later.
Yeah. All right. Well, guys, check out those links in the show notes. There'll be a bunch. Use them wisely. And do it with the ideology of not more content, but better content. Is there anything you would like to leave the audience with around AI content creation?
Yeah, embrace it. That's for sure. Cool. If you haven't played with it, play with it. If you've only played with ChatGPT, go out there and try other tools, because there are some really amazing, like mind-blowing tools. You can find tools for content generation, but content isn't just text. It might be video, it might be images. And for all of that, you already have AI tools that can generate that content for you. Okay, so just go out there, test it. The revolution is already here, I think. It's already happening. So try not to stay behind. At the same time, be wary of the limitations of these tools, at least current limitations. They're not always factually correct. They're not good for every single use that you might think of. They're pretty good at some things, but less so with the others. Don't ask them for their honest opinion, because they won't necessarily share that with you. And lastly, remember that especially for your audience, people interested or having or buying websites already, just remember that this stuff is out there. So just be careful when you're buying your new website or when you're doing due diligence.
Definitely. When you're doing due diligence, check the content and put some of it through, you know, some of their top articles and some of their not so good articles, put it through a detector tool. It's definitely a part of due diligence now. Now, Rad, you guys are awesome. Thanks so much for coming on. You guys do so many good things. You do content generation with Husky Hamster, link building. You, in fact, do link building for us. Guys, I'll put links to some Rad stuff, what he does, in the show notes as well. But where should people go and find out more about you?
Go visit huskyhamster.com or non.agency. These are two of our websites. You can find me on LinkedIn, Twitter as well. So don't be shy. Say hello.
Yeah, awesome. Guys, check out the links in the show notes. That's it for this episode. I think it was so damn juicy. A lot of value in here, and looking forward to recording another one of these with you soon, Rad.
Lovely. Thank you very much.